Now it's time for this.
The Executive Chair on Down to Business.
Okay, I've headed south for the Executive Chair this week. I'm in Cork, of all places, and I'm delighted to be joined by Michael Barry. He's the Managing Director of Barry & Fitzwilliam, and they're based here right in Cork. Michael, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Bobby. I'm delighted to be here.
Now, Michael, I suppose we better set the business in context first before we ask Barry & Fitzwilliam. Tell us a little bit about the business first.
Purveyors of fine wine, spirits and beers. We like to see ourselves as Ireland's leading independent drinks distributor. We've been in business since 1982. And today, and we turned over about £2 million in 1982, which is about €2.5 million. Managed to make a few bob, not a lot, but we still turned a profit in our first year. And last year we turned over £71 million, and we made a small profit then too. But
all right,
so doing well.
Okay, and we'll come back to that in a second. But this is the Executive Chair, and I'm talking to Michael Barry here. So I want to know a little bit more about the man. Grew up in Middleton, probably a home of distilling and all that good stuff. Your family weren't involved in the distillery business.
My family were stonecutters, would you believe? But I loved visiting the distillery. At the time, it was run down. We would come home from Middleton CBS, and on the way home to Mill Road, Middleton, where I lived. Maybe one day a week we'd call into the distillery, and it actually became a playground. So it's ironic now to think that I'm actually in the business, and we do a lot of business with Irish distillers today.
Now, you got your start in life in Murphy's Brewery. You were an accountant. I think you call yourself a reformed accountant because you ended up in somewhat of an administration role there.
Yeah, I mean, even though I did qualify as a certified public accountant in 1978, I never actually practiced what I would call proper accounting. There was a chap called Bob Kinnifick, God rest him, who discovered me, I suppose is the word I could use. Bob was a legend within the drinks industry in Ireland. And Bob said, "You're bored in the accounting department here, Michael, come and work for me." And he said, "Look, the wine and spirit division is taking off. Will you become my administration manager?" And I said, "Yeah, I would absolutely love it, Bob." And I haven't looked back since. I have to say every day has been a great day, whether working for Murphy's Brewery or working for myself.
And Michael, can I ask you about, when you say you're the administration manager, those days working in Murphy's Brewery, did that give you a sense of, did you build up a list of contacts within the industry? Did you know how it all worked? As an administrator, were you one step removed from the customer, or were you the guy who had to ring them when the check was late?
A lot of questions there. My work really was more involved with the purchasing and the selling side,
right,
of the business. And I feel like I had the responsibility for making a profit because it was my job to come up with the selling prices and make a margin, as well as doing the shipping, the logistics, and the running a bonded warehouse. And it was a great experience in terms of setting up your own wine and spirit company. And yes, in relation to the contacts, I made fantastic contacts. And without those, I don't think I've ever been able to set up as Barry's Wines and Spirits in 1982, which is a few months after Murphy's Brewery went into receivership and before Heineken bought it.
So just to ask you, would you have done it anyway, or were you a victim of circumstance in that the brewery was closing and you had to say, "Well, what am I going to do for Michael Barry here?"
I could have stayed in Murphy's Brewery. I was told I was mad to leave.
Right.
But there's a lot to be said for blind faith, youth, enthusiasm and passion. If the brewery was going well, I probably never have had the opportunity,
yeah,
or the gumption to go and do what I did. But right place at the right time with the right contacts.
Okay. So you set up on yourself, and I know that it's the business has probably changed, I suppose, exponentially over the years. And that was something I wanted to ask you about the change in how people drink now. I see your brochures here. Craft beer is very prominent. Even the way wine is sold now is different. Spirits seem to have they come in and out of fashion. But tell me a little bit about how we've changed as a nation and how we actually consume alcohol.
Well, I would go back to 1982 when I started, and it was very much Barry's Wines and Spirits, and we were probably selling 80% spirits and 20% wine. And I remember, and I'll be quite specific, and I hope you won't mind, but we have a very good customer in Middleton, John Hurley, Super Value. I think he's won the Super Value Shop of the Year a few times. And John and myself would be the same era. And I remember going into him kind of the first week or two on the road, and he said, "Michael, come here, I want you to look at my storeroom." He said, "Look, I've this stock in here for the last 6 months. I can't shift it. Come back around Christmas and I might be able to give you an order." So yes, it was very difficult to sell wines at the time.
Right.
But spirits were easier, different culture. And the pubs are very strong and the off-licenses were not very strong. And today, all that has changed. It's very much, I think 60% of our business now comes from the off-trade and 40% comes from the on-trade, which is the pubs and restaurants. So a totally different culture.
I'm interested as well, you know, in the on and off trade. I suppose the publicans, and we've had many of them on this program giving out about the off trade. Can you actually be a supplier to both? In other words, I know all the breweries and all the big brands manage to do it, but you know, if you're selling something at a particular price in a pub, and you see that you can buy four of them for the same price from a supermarket, it's an aggravating factor, is it not?
Well, there's two different businesses there. I mean, the publican is bringing you into a place of entertainment as such. And it's not, I don't mean there's entertainment on stage, but you're going there for a reason. You're going to a destination. You want to meet friends. You're going to have a very good environment in most pubs today. I mean, buying an off license is quite a different thing. The overheads are a lot less. You don't have all of the staff to pay. So I think most people understand today that the margins in an off license are quite low. The margins in the pub have to be higher because of insurance and rent and rates and staff and all that goes with that. So I think the consumer understands. But the one thing that gets me, and probably really gets the publicans as well, and probably gets a lot of the independent off license people, is selling drink under cost. And that, to me, should be banned. Now, it's easier said than done because Scotland have tried to bring in minimum pricing and the government are talking about bringing in minimum pricing. But I think Scotland have been told by the EU that they can't do this. So the whole thing is up in the air at the moment.
The business you're in, Michael, and my guest is Michael Barry. We're in the executive chair. I'm down in his premises here in Cork. It's actually a wonderful facility. It's the first time I've been in a boardroom for a long time that's surrounded with drink. It's great. We're not drinking any of it, but it's very nice to look at.
Not yet, Bobby. We'll have one later.
Now, Michael, I wanted to ask you about, we talked about the pubs there, the on-off trade. Again, from, you know, the difficulty that you'd have in selling your product. Excise on wine, a bottle of whiskey, which costs €22, €16 of that goes to the government. So, you know, the consumer probably doesn't care, but does that irk you?
It irks me and probably irks most consumers because I think since the last excise duty increase, the volume of spirits, I won't say consumed in Ireland, but definitely purchased in Ireland, is down almost 20%. So it's a bit stupid. One of the most important things in the whole of Ireland these days is tourism. I think we've had one of our best years ever, or we're going to have one of our best years ever. And one of the primary places for the tourists to visit is the pubs of Ireland. Mm-hmm. And with the high excise duties and the high VAT, okay, there's a preferential VAT for the hospitality sector, but it must be very frustrating for them to see how expensive drink is in Ireland. And here we are promoting Irish whiskey around the world, Irish beers around the world. It's slightly hypocritical, yeah, to be frank about it. So it is annoying. And what really bugs me is that I think between excise duty and VAT, and wine particularly, I know it's not an indigenous industry, and that's probably one of the reasons it's been hit so much, but I think the increase by this government since they came into power has been about 70%. Mm-hmm. So I think that's crazy. And I also think with the very, you know, with wine being sold under cost today, the consumer isn't actually getting value because the quality of the wine they're getting at the very low level is inferior.
Can I ask you about brands? Again, looking around me here, I see McGuigan's, Lynch Badge, you know, you've got some great Jim Beam, Jägermeister, Remy Martin, like some wonderful brands. How important are brands in your universe?
They are their business. Yeah. And I suppose we take great pride in the brands that we have. I mean, the example, like McGuigan today is the number one selling Australian wine brand. And when we took that on in the year 2000, it was only doing maybe 20,000 bottles a year. I was hardly registering with the consumer. But we embraced the whole concept of the wine geese, who are the Irish people who got involved in the wine industry and the spirit industry around the world, and drove it on. And to, like for it to be the number one Australian wine brand today, I mean, the satisfaction is amazing. And on top of that, we've got Villa Maria, which is now the number one New Zealand wine brand in the country. And to use an expression from my Australian friends, it's going gangbusters.
Isn't it great, again, as the innovation around names? I'm looking through the brochures here. I see Poker Tree Dark by Nirvana, some of the Bow Bristle, the Sneaky Owl, the Hairy Goat, some of the craft beers. Then when you come to the wines, you've got things like the Fat Bastard. Great wine.
The wine is actually very good. The name is a bit of fun. But getting back to the names on the beers, I just want to talk about the craft beer business for a minute. In the States, they're saying that the craft beer industry now accounts for about 9% of all beer. In Ireland, it's just over probably 1%. So we've embraced craft beer. We've become the route to market for the small indigenous breweries who really don't have the. And this, I don't mean this in any way in terms of insulting, by saying they don't have the commercial acumen or the contacts that we have in terms of bringing their roots to market. They're very good at producing beer. Mm-hmm. Our job is to market it. So we've had a great year over the last year and a half. Yeah, since January last year, we've had a great run with craft beers and craft ciders. So some spectacular beer has been made in Ireland at the moment.
And isn't it great that I believe there's a craft brewery now in every county in Ireland, or almost every county? And again, wouldn't you like to see that become a business that was supported? That, you know, they can't, I believe there's licensing restrictions around if you've got a craft brewery inviting people on and offering them a visitor experience. Mm-hmm. Like, surely those sort of laws are very antiquated, are they not?
Well, I think the craft breweries who are giving tours of their breweries are being clever in a way, because they're allowed to give free samples. Mm. So maybe if you pay enough for the tour, you can have a few free samples. I suppose it's an Irish solution to an Irish problem. But we have so many rules and regulations here, Bobby. It's the Irish way. Yeah.
Well, listen, it's great to meet somebody who loves their business, who loves their product, and who's actually steeped in what they do. And it's been a pleasure to come down to Cork here to meet you. Thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for showing me around, and every success with your business.
Thanks very much, Bobby.